إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. نشهد يا رسول الله أنك قد أديت الأمانة وبلغت الرسالة ونصحت الأمة وكشف الله بك الغمة وجاهدت في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاك اليقين، فجزاك الله عنا خير ما جزى نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن رسالته. أما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, continuing inshallah with the Islamic identity theories, because of what we're seeing and what we're seeing for our youth especially and the community at large. The first topic we talked about were women, because we said usually when the media interviews us, we talk about two things, women and terrorism. So we discussed it the first time about women. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about terrorism. We'll talk about the definition, the misconceptions, and also with the four context of it, with the religious aspect of it, the political side of it, the social side of it, and the religious side of it. And what type of terrorism they are, and what is the word jihad in a context, of course, looking at it, and also with the ayat and the hadith have proven, as we accustomed, a game plan and a homework to be able to put everything in perspective and something to do on your way out. So with that, we start asking Allah subhanahu wa jalla if you'd like to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. Ameen. The definition of the word in itself is misconstrued. And we have looked in the history of it and we find out it wasn't actually us that started this whole thing. And we know that if you want to go back in history and you do your homework, you'll find out the Tamil Tigers and all the kamikaze and all of these things. But the word association, according to Dr. Pavlov theory, and the stigma comes unfortunately with us because of some hidden agendas. Either people want to politicize this or the fear-mongering in order for them to acquire certain things, whether they were to ruin the economy of the Muslim countries or to break down the fabric of the social that we have in a cohesive way, and also to have something to do with the economics. And also to make sure that the religion is not looked upon favorably. So people do not want to come to the fold of Islam, and even Muslims hesitate. Even the ones that are born and raised here have no foundation. They will be an easy prey for them to say, you know what, I do not want to associate with this religion because of the connotation in the negative meaning that is associated with it, and the words that we talked about on the Dr. Pavlov theory. So we said that if you hear a Muslim man is, becomes terrorist, and a Muslim a woman is, becomes oppressive, and so oppressed, and so on and so forth, as we addressed it briefly in last time. So let's talk about it now. The two things are, the scholars say there is that Irhab nafs itself, not Irhab and kebab like we hear, it's not what you think. You know, the Irhab, the thing that we talk about terrorism, it is mentioned in the Quran, but there's a mamduh and madmum. There's one that is a positive and one that is negative. One that you're supposed to do, what is it? It's called the STI, if you have heard of it. The STI. Our neighbors to the south use it all the time. STI, what does that mean? Strategic Defense Initiative. They tell you, listen, we're too powerful, man. Don't mess with us. We'll wipe you out. Yeah? That's called STI. They use it all the time. You want to mess with us? Look, with a button here, we'll nuke you. We'll take you out. If you want, look back in history. One button, we wiped out a whole nation. And we come back and give you some candy. Thank you so much for participating. Yes? And of course, you cannot be a subjective man in the way that you be fair and just to be the judge, the ruler, the prosecutor, and the lawyer, and the victim. So they play that game with you. And of course, when it comes to the media, number one and two, by the way, politics and media, number one and two, on the list of those who actually ruin things. Because they have the control over the media. and the lawmakers. So we also have to understand that whatever happened in the past, this recent past in the elections, had something directly to do with what we do, having to secure the future here and for our children later, in order for you to have to call this a place home. Otherwise, you don't have a home, period. Because our homes, whatever we call back home, is no longer a home because of the same reasons. Now, if you look at it, what is the mamduh about it? Mamduh, that is the, in a positive sense, that scare your enemies, this is irhab. وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ Why? Prepare wherever you can muster with power. Why? تُلْهِبُونَ You scare your enemies, not your brothers and sisters. But if you look at our own armies, mashallah, tabarakallah, what is the job for an army now? No, defend us? No, dude, we'll kill you. We'll take your money, buy the bullets from somebody else in China, whatever that they do now. Because we don't do anything apparently. We're just consumers. We don't produce anything. But in order for us to have an army is to protect to our leader that was put by somebody else to make sure that we follow their golden arches. Yes? But the army, what the heck is the army doing? Selling stuff and bidding things. They're not doing what the army is supposed to be doing, man. So if you're actually looking for the truth, let's open up your eyes and smell the hummus, because that's exactly what's happening. If you're really looking for the truth, don't look at what they want you to hear. No, man, look for what. Be a smart, intellectual individual, and don't be an easy prey. Don't just follow the hearsay and whims and desires. Do your homework. Be a true man, a true woman that actually follows the truth, not what they actually want you to believe and what you want you to hear. Like according to, again, Dr. Pavlov theory. So yes, you're supposed to scare your enemies so you don't become a gobble up. They gobble you up real quick. But if they know that we have the power, nobody mess with you. And I say this all the time. India did not mess with Pakistan as soon as they found out that they have a nuclear power. America will not touch some other countries, even though the principles are double standards, because they know they will not be able to beat them. They will lose. And that's the power we're talking about. And that is the irhab that is mamduh. That is the one that is commendable. That is a positive irhab in the way that you're scare your enemies, don't mess with me. That's the strategic initiative that we have. The other one is obviously madmum, not allowed. It is not allowed in any way in the Quran and Sunnah, in any religion on the face of the earth, period. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not supposed to scare your brethren even with a piece of steel. Even jokingly, taking something away from them to hide it and make them scared. That is not allowed even in Islam. Can you imagine? Now, when it comes to the Quran, there's plenty of it. And some people use the cut and paste theory. First of all, they tell you, قَاتُلُوهُمْ Yeah, kaffa. Go ahead, kill them all. But as they kill you all, they cut and paste. They take verse number 5, and they will leave number 6, and they will use number 7, and Surah Tawbah number 9. It's amazing, Sheikh. He says, kill them wherever you find them, but they don't tell you what it is. فَنِسْتَجَارَكْ Yes. Well, if they ask you for protection, فَأَجِرُهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعْ كَلَامُهُ وَأَبْلِغْهُ مَأْمَنَهُ If they ask you for protection, protect them. Protect your enemies if they really want to find the truth. And where do you keep them after he accepts, not accept, what they do? Then حَتَّى تَبْلِغْهُ مَأْمَنَهُ Go ahead and keep them in a safe haven. Don't kill them. But even, and don't transgress even in a state of war. Even in a state of war, you're not supposed to transgress. As a matter of fact, the narration of the hadith and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the state of war and his transition and successors after him, the Ten Commandments. When I was interviewed once, I gave him the Ten Commandments, not of the what we know, the Ten Commandments of war. With all due respect, the Ten Commandments. I want you to compare these and what you hear on Fox News. This is the commandments that an army going to fight to defend themselves, either daf or talab. When it comes to the true jihad, pushing away the harm or having the people to have the right to be able to make our own choice, not forced to worship something. Here's an army going to fight, and here's what we hear. Blow them up, and when people come into the masjid here to learn about Islam and the schools, so what do you guys learn about Islam? So you hear the word Allahu Akbar, something blows up after that. Subhanallah, ajib ya Shaykh. So I'm telling you, look, here's even as Muslims going to fight, here are the commands of the war in itself to an army that's going to fight. First of all, do not kill a woman. Do not kill a child. Do not kill an old man.
Do not kill an animal. Do not cut a tree down. Do not pollute their water. Do not burn their homes. Do not invade them at night, so you might not wake the nursing mother and child. You will find those who worship God in their own ways. Leave them to fight, to worship God in their own ways. Freedom of religion. Fight only those who fight you. قَاتِلُوا الَّذِي يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah says that. Fight those who fight you. If you don't fight me, I'm not fighting you. As a matter of fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهَ عَنَ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَيَخْرُجُكُمْ مِنْ دِيرِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very clear idea. Why? Because those who give us a bad name, they have no idea about Islam, period. Now we lost our voice, we've gone blue to talk to the media about it, but do you think they hear us? No. Who do they have? In another city, we were doing a demonstration. Prepared for it, peacefully. Want to get the word out. We made sure we looked at all the banners. Every banner is approved. There's only one lovely person that comes across in front of us. Death to America. Guess who goes on the 6 o'clock news? It's that same lovely person that goes in front of the camera and says, death to America, and that's it, walks away. We don't know this guy. Yes? And that's exactly what they want. That's what sells, man. You think that they're going to put the 6 o'clock news, you know what, we want to live in peace, we want to... Listen, we were in 3 days in Toronto talking to the evangelical Christians at a multi-faith retreat. And we talked about the bigger picture. Says there is no way that we can have peace without injustice, without justice. You're addressing a band-aid solution. It's a very simple methodology. If you're going to treat people like animals, don't expect them to behave like humans. And that's exactly what's going on. Put yourself in their position and watch out. Let me see how you behave, dude. Let me take your land away. Let me take your resources away. Let me kill your father in front of you or your mother. Or take away your sister, or take away your land. And then let me, now let's see how you behave. And they did say nothing. Because we can't help you on this one. So we say the root cause, the root cause analysis is you have to have justice in order for you to have peace. Now if you're going to address this because of your own whims and desires, you don't want to have this because it works for you. You don't want Muslims to be up. I understand. I got it. I got the gig. The jig is up. So now you feed the new Muslims that they get the mentally ill Muslims in order for them to do what? The FBI is on their side. As a matter of fact, they were challenged. They could not come up with any irrefutable evidence. Because they have a big budget to prove that they have to defend the land. So what did they look for? They fish. For some mentally ill Muslims, and they tell them, listen, we want to show you. Look what they did in Bosnia. Look what they did in, and they show them bad side what happened to Muslims. And if you want to think that we're the oppressors, wallahi, look what's happening in Kashmir, in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the list is long. And history will testify to that. The Crusaders, the Spanish Inquisition, and I can go on for a long list. As a matter of fact, there was a price on our head, whether you're dead or alive. Well, did we do that as Muslims? La wallahi. We said, ahlan wa sahlan. Open arms, come, live with us. But in the other way around. But they don't want to hear you. I was teaching the police and the army, whatever it is about Islam, same thing. You can't generalize, obviously, it's not fair. But I said, have you heard anyone called a Protestant? These Christians are killing Christians. They believe in 73 books. These are believing 66 books. The Catholic and Protestants. They were killing each other. In the name of what? Did they call them, these guys are, did they call them terrorists? Did they call them, even if they didn't call them terrorists, did they call them Christian terrorists? They did not associate the religion with that, with the actual word. But do they associate the religion with ours? Islamic fundamentals, Muslim jihadists, Muslim terrorists, associated, we call it foul. There is nothing in the religion that says this. So why do you allow it for us and don't allow it for yours? Understand now? So understanding that, I said, Anna, talking to the media, I said, it's not fair for me to tell you that the KKK, and again, I'm not stuttering, does not represent Christianity. And you cannot tell me this, whatever you want to call them, because they change names now. They recruit you, whether they want to give you money to do this, or people are desperate, or individual. Because an individual wants to think, I'm a hero, I'm frustrated. I have nothing, no hope in this life. I have no job. They took away the land, they took away whatever it is, any hope. I have nothing. So whoever, somebody raised the flag with the La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah, come, yeah, we'll give you money. We'll get you married. We'll do whatever it is that we do. And they gobble it up. But they haven't heard. من قتل مؤمنا ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها وغضب الله عليه ولعنه واعد له عذابا عظيما. Five things in one ayah. The scholar says they were not combined in any other ayah except this one. If you kill a true believer intentionally, Allah will be angered with you. And curse, meaning you kicked out of the mercy of Allah, and you will not be able to enter Jannah without the mercy of Allah, according to the hadith. And after this, hellfire eternally and a grave punishment. Five. And those who claim that they're doing this on our behalf, did they actually put a bullet to our enemies, so they call? Not one single bullet. It's only us. And that's why I told them, listen, this ISIS and this Daesh and Qaeda, or whatever you want to call them nowadays, come up with new names. Tell me, how much damage have they done for our enemies and how much damage have they done for us? Who's paying the price? You'll find out it's actually Muslims. Do you think that the motive for us is good? We do this for us, for ourselves? La wallahi. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين يقاتلونكم في الدين ويخرجونكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم. Allah makes it very clear. Allah forbids you not to be kind and just for those who don't fight you in your religion and don't kick you out of your home. Two reasons. If you leave me to worship Allah and don't kick me out of my home, I'm supposed to be treating you like my parents and treating you with not just justice, more than justice. But what are the two conditions? Just leave me to worship Allah. Too much to ask? And don't kick me out of my home. When I spoke to the others, he said, well, it's very fair. I said, listen, you tell me, if I don't tell you now, you cannot worship this, you cannot do this. I'm taking you away from your home. How would you feel? So I'll fight to the death. He said, exactly. They can't relate to it unless you turn the table on them. They don't see it. Why? Because we become numbers. You see, the trick is very easy. When the others get killed or blown away, which actually we don't condone, period. No religion condones this. Make it very clear. And I'll give you the proof in the Quran before I go there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفس بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحياها هذا الضمير pronoun is that نفس any soul فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا. Because of this, and if you kill a human being with no him killing or her killing another human being or فساد في الأرض transmission, this حد الحرابة. You know what that means? You will be held accountable as if you killed humanity. And if you save one soul, as if you saved humanity. The scholar says he is mutlaq, not muqayyad. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, man qatala nafs. He didn't say an-nafs. There's no alif lam. He says, if you kill a soul, period, any soul, Christian, Muslims, Jewish, Buddhist, Hindu, agnostic, atheist, anybody, any creation, any soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable as if he called you humanity. He didn't say man qatala nafs, he didn't say Muslim, he didn't say mu'min here. It's man qatala nafs, any soul, without the reason for it, as if he killed the whole humanity. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا And those who save a life, period, as if you saved the whole humanity. What is the first thing that we're going to be held accountable for, brothers and sisters, on Judgment Day? Two narrations. One says, أول ما يحاسب العبد دماء. The first thing that will be held accountable for on Judgment Day is دماء, bloodshed. رَبِّي سَلْ هَذَا لِمَ قَتَلَنِي You will grab the person who killed you, your neck is on one palm, the other hand will take the other person that killed you, and you will ask Allah, رَبِّي سَلْ هَذَا لِمَ قَتَلَنِي My Lord, ask him, why did he kill me? It's too much. It's painful. Forgive me for being emotional. The time is running. We'll give you a little bit of hope. But before I go, as promised, numbers. When the others get killed, what did they do? They show you their mother. They show you their wife. They show you their daughter. They become human, humanized. Oh, then you can relate to it. Oh, I have a mother. I have a daughter. I have a wife. These evil Muslims, did this to this person. It could have been me. They need a villain, yes? But when it comes to us, what did he do? 11 Palestinians died last night. What do we become? A number. What happens? We get desensitized. You don't see it. Too many tricks. But there is hope. You know why? Because it's Judgment Day. And that day, first thing we'll be held accountable for is a bloodshed. May Allah make that day the best day and see justice in this life and hereafter. Amen. In the next 5 minutes, we'll give you the hope, inshallah. أقول ما تسمعون إن شاء الله استغفروا فيا الله. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد. My brothers and sisters, understand that Islam honors bloodshed. The reason, first thing on Judgment Day, the narration says a woman will be going to hellfire. Why? She blew up. Whatever? No. She killed the cat. C-A-T. Cat. She killed the cat. She will be held accountable for a soul of a cat. And another woman will be going to heaven, or a man, because she quenched the thirst of a dog. Isn't that amazing? But Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمُ. We have honored and elevated the human beings above all. Yes? So if you don't think you're going to be held accountable for what's going on, if we're going to be held accountable for a cat or a dog, think again. When did Islam really flourish? It was actually after Sulh Hudaybiyah. Because they will tell you that. The Islam was spread by the sword. It says, which sword do we have now? We don't even have the sword of oil. We sold it. We're selling our islands. We're selling our land. We're selling our resources. We're selling everything, man. We're selling our soul. Do you think we have a sword? We don't have a sword, dude. What sword, man? The biggest country in the Muslim world right now is Indonesia. What sword was raised in Indonesia to become they become Muslims? The sword of honesty. The honest merchants. They said, I have to tell you there's something wrong with this merchandise before I sell it to you. Who is this? That's what Islam says. That's how they embraced Islam. It's the fastest growing religion on the face of the earth, and they know that. And that's one of the reasons they're fighting it. Not knowing they're fighting themselves. Also understanding that Sulh Hudaybiyah was a proof of that. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after wars, just to stay alive, the people did not embrace Islam very much. But as soon as we have the Hudna, the treaty, yes, peace, Islam flourished. Why? Because da'wah was given, propagation. Give me time to tell people what Islam is. And that is the biggest proof. There's too much to say. However, having said that, my brothers and sisters, there is something that we have to do. The reason we're coming up with something called Walk the Talk. This program should be, inshallah, rolled out in the beginning of the year. Make dua for us, y'all. In the beginning of the year, guess what? Around the masajid, who complains most before we build a masjid? Our neighbors. Why? Because we are, mashallah, tabarakallah, we give them plenty of reasons to hate us. Okay, let's block their parkway. You know what? Let's ruin their whatever it is. I have to come to pray, dude. Ya Ammi, wallahi, you're doing a ma'asiyah in a ta'af. You're doing an act of disobedience and act of obedience. Fiqh, sheikh, think, wisdom. How much are you doing? Like the individual person that has no, is hopeless, despair. He says, you know what, let me do something bad. But you're doing, you think you're going to attain the mercy of Allah by doing this, but you're harming the whole Muslims in your country? Is that good? No. No wisdom, nothing. Individual, selfish person that does this and leaves us all behind. So what we're doing here, guess what? We're doing something called Walk the Talk. I'm actually addressing the youth. You're going to be hearing about this soon. And Sheikh Hussam will be leading it, inshallah. I just volunteered him, mashallah. Walk the talk. Guess what? Neighbors will be looking, come, Muslims, come to us. You know why? Because in the summer, we'll be cutting their grass. Our neighbors in the winter will be shoveling the snow. We're going to give a list of volunteers for the ill and the elderly and the needy. If you want help, you call us Muslims. We're the best neighbors to have. That's how you can turn minds, hearts, and soul. Because that's the time that we have today. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you'll have to turn our minds, hearts, and soul. To turn this boat around and make us true Muslims who are following the Quran and Sunnah. Ameen wa akhda wa alhamdulillahi rabbil ameen wa sallam alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
يا رب لك الحمد كم بلد الله وجب عليه وجب عليه اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الأولين والأخير الملعب اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين وعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين وأذل الشرك والمشركين أعداءك أعداء الدين أوقع الكافرين في الكافرين أوقع الظالمين في الظالمين وأخرجنا من بينهم سالمين اللهم احفظنا بالإسلام قائمين واحفظنا بالإسلام قاعدين واحفظنا بالإسلام راقدين ولا تشمل بنا الأعداء أو الحاسرين اللهم احفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا وعن أيماننا وعن شمائلنا ومن فوقنا ونعوذ بعظمتنا أن نغتال من تحتنا اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين وعاف مبتلانا ومبتلى المسلمين وارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم وآخر الصلاة.